In your Bibles, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, if you're using one of our pew Bibles, the red Bibles, you'll find that on page 879. Now, just as you're turning up in your Bibles, I know the pastor has already welcomed the many visitors we have with us today. It's good to see all of you, and I'm especially happy to see our brother Jackson Riley here with us today, and good to see his mum, Mrs. Riley. We're happy to have you today in our service. We're thankful you're here with us. It's good to see you folks. I trust the Lord will bless you all in the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verse 1, we're going to read the first five verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And then turning over just the page to chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come now to the closing moments of this service today, we give thanks that we are again in the house of the Lord. We have health. We have strength. We have come to the place where the Lord has appointed a blessing under the preaching of thine own precious word. Father, may the word of the Lord be an encouragement today to everyone gathered in. Father, we rejoice for the goodness and the good hand of God on each one of us here today. We do remember the Nikiforov's family. Come near to them and bless them this day. Give them the grace and the peace of God which passes all understanding. Father, I pray that as we focus upon the legacy of grandmothers and great-grandmothers and mothers this day, we would know the presence of the Lord. There would be a truly thankful spirit in each one of us. Father, let thy word rest in our souls this very day. Give help in the ministry of thy word, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've read today about Timothy. The Apostle Paul spoke very highly about this man. He's presented to us in the Scriptures as a man of faith. Of the New Testament account of these people, and if there was such an account of the Hebrews 11 of the people of faith, Timothy would undoubtedly be a man that would fill that account. He was a man of God, though he was weak in his body due to much illness, but he was strong in faith. In fact, Paul credits him with something called unfeigned faith or unhypocritical faith. He was undoubtedly a man of God. He was a genuine person who did not say one thing and yet do something different. His character was marked by this grace of faith. The Apostle Paul had to say that he had no man who was like-minded. And Timothy was also unashamed of the bonds of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 gives a very glowing account of Timothy's faithfulness. But if this man were testifying to us today, I am sure that he would say, I thank God for the privilege of being brought up under the influence and instruction of a God-fearing mother and a God-fearing grandmother. People who taught me from the earliest days of my recollection things that are right and things that are wrong. They have so impressed upon my life the things of God that without them, I would not be what I am and where I am this very day. You see, the place of a mother in the home cannot be too highly overestimated. Her influence for good is stronger than all the laws of the land. It is more potent than the preaching of many, many sermons. For one quiet word from a mother bears a great weight. I don't think it would be any exaggeration to say that next to God, there is no power for good that is stronger than a mother's influence upon the life of her children. Mother, never underestimate the power and the value of both your words and your example. I want to speak to you this morning specifically to mothers and to grandmothers and great-grandmothers and also to future mothers that we have in our congregation, but also to apply as well those who may not have children naturally, and yet under your care God has placed little ones to be nurtured, to be instructed, to develop in the things of God. There is a great responsibility that rests upon you. And I want to tell you today and direct you from the Word of God to think very carefully about those young people, those children God has placed under your care, as to how you may influence them for good. What is the first prerequisite? Unquestioning commitment to Christ. That is going to be the first mark of a faithful woman of God to influence and impress those under your care. An unquestioning commitment to Christ. You see, in every account, we must focus and direct people to our Savior. We must not neglect that primary responsibility that there is in our lives as people of God. And women, the greatest responsibility that you have as a mother, as those to give influence, is to lead the little ones to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. Do not be sidetracked from that most important, that unquestioning commitment that you have to Christ that is leading little ones to a knowledge of the Lord. There can be no room for half-heartedness in this most important business. There cannot be a distraction or a taking aside. For how many people have invested themselves to make a living, to form a career, but yet they have not made for themselves a home? They have not taught their children in the way in which God has directed, because there has been great busyness in increasing income, in providing those things that will make for a comfortable life. No, The unquestioning commitment that we have must be toward the Lord and of putting Him first in life. Some people say times are different today than they were in the New Testament. We have mortgages to pay. We have incomes that have to come into the family. And I understand in many respects that because of the rising cost today of living in a city that we live in, a home finds it very difficult to function on just one income. It is very hard. There are sacrifices that have to be made. And some mothers have to go out to work to make an income. And yet, my friends, things are not in essence any different in the day that we are living in today. For people have always faced difficulty. In fact, there are today more helps for women, for mothers, in a social assistance form than there have been in any other time of history. In Lystra and Derbe, the places in the cities where Timothy's grandmother and mother came from and the area in which Paul lived, they were heathen cities where he worked and ministered. Christians at that time were looked upon and blamed when things went wrong for natural disasters and so on. And there was much temptation for them to turn away from the faith or to be sidetracked in the day in which they lived. But my friends, it doesn't matter which time and point of history in which you're living. The fact is, there is always the requisite for faithfulness and for devotion unto the Lord. That has got to be the first place, mother, in your life. The responsibility is clear. And your unquestioning commitment to Christ and devotion to His Word will leave the greatest lasting impression upon your children, upon the hearts and minds, upon the development of the young people that you have under your control and authority. There must also be an untiring labor for Christ. An untiring labor for Christ. There are times when the children under your care are not developing in the way that you think they should. They become a discouragement to you. You at times perhaps even despair to the outcome of their lives. Let me say to you the scripture again, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Be not weary. Mother, are you weary today because of some circumstance within the lives of your own children, your own family? Is there some grief that is weighing you down because maybe your own life is filled with some kind of inconsistency and you feel that because your family, your children, they're not going quite in the direction you see they should, are you tempted to wonder, what is God doing? Is there any hope? What is the future for me, for my family? Be not weary in well-doing of setting first of all in your family the Lord Jesus Christ. Set the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Be not weary in well-doing. There are many responsibilities of the home, of the mother. Today, when some mothers get finished doing their work outside the home, they must then come to the home and begin the process of cooking, of cleaning, of ironing, of doing the domestic duties, and those things are repeated, and perhaps they seem and appear to be mundane things, and well, it's the must-do things. And yet, don't despise them. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in the way that you apply yourself to those duties that appear to be mundane, they have the potential of having a great amount of impact upon your children, greater than you understand and know at that point in time. Without question, the right perspective that's relating to these many duties of a mother will bring rich benefits with them. I ask you this morning, are you thinking right in relation to these things? Do you realize that your labor to train your children is to be for the glory of God, and it will be seen even in these little things? May the Lord give to you a different outlook if that is a problem that you have at this very point in time. May you know how to demonstrate God's love in the simple things of your own life. And then moving from those mundane things, you then move into the area of the more important aspects of training and of teaching, things that relate to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 15 that we read, Paul said about Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What does that tell us about Eunice, the mother of Timothy? That from a child, the word child is a newly born, an infant. That from a child. What does this mean? Other than from the first moments of Timothy's life, his mother conveyed to him the love of God. She conveyed to him the Word of God, of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Perhaps she sang to him when he was very young. As he was being nursed, she whispered into his ear the Word of God, the Scriptures, and it was not done in a haphazard manner. But she applied her heart and soul to this. She instructed him in the ways of God from his infant days. Timothy, a blessed young person, a blessed child, a blessed man, for the fruit of her labor was yet to be seen as he grew and developed to be a man of God, a man of unfeigned faith. Paul said, I have great confidence in this man, for he is a man of God. How did he become a man of God? Well, we understand and know it's the grace of the Lord that worked in his life. There is no question about that. But God's grace worked through his mother. God's grace was seen in the development of how Timothy was taught and instructed by the life of Eunice, by her lips as she spoke, and by the love that she extended to him, her own son. Eunice knew the truth that whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. We often think about that in the negative context, don't we? It's a word of judgment. If you sow evil and wickedness, you will reap the end. But don't think of that just for the moment. Think about that in a positive sense. If you're sowing righteousness, you will reap righteousness at the end. If you're sowing this in the lives of your children, those under your control, God has made a promise. And God keeps His promises. You will yet reap the benefit and the blessing of that to the end. Let me emphasize again the importance of this responsibility. Because when your influence for truth and virtue is guided by divine wisdom, your life will be a power for Christ that will reach through time and it will reach unto eternity. Motherhood is not an easy job. It is the work of love, of sacrifice, and of commitment for all those who are require to rear a family. The teaching begins in the home. The instruction, the influence, the impressioning of young minds. It is not something the education of our family and children to be given to the responsibility of someone else. That responsibility lies squarely upon the family. God has made that clear in His own Word. The examples of mothers that they give, they are lifelong examples. I am very pleased today that my own mother is here in the service. I have the privilege that many of you do not have, and that is of speaking publicly a word on account of my own mother. But let me do this in a sense for everyone here, because as you cannot come to speak publicly, let me speak also and share on account of you and the thankfulness that I know that you have for your mothers. For I thank God for the mother that He has given to me, and for the example of good that she has been in my life. And there are many times that in the course of activity and working, it may just be a spot on the table that doesn't come off too easily when you scrub it. And you have to rub it again. And you have to rub it harder. And you have to rub it harder. And oftentimes when I would do that at home or wherever I may be, a thought flashes into my mind just of a picture, an image of how Mother would clean the kitchen, clean the table, take care of those details of life. Those things are very precious. And those memories are precious. So that I might say thank you for my mother, for what she has done. And you also are expressing those thoughts. My friend, if you have not expressed that to your mother, do not wait another day. As I was in the hospital Friday afternoon, we arrived a short time after Victor had passed away. Christine arrived into the hospital at 12:25. Victor died at 12:20. She missed seeing her husband pass into eternity by 5 minutes. Now, she had been at the hospital. She had lived at the hospital for the last week, staying there overnight, going home just for a short time to gather some new clothes and so on. But as she stroked the dead body of her husband, just in his arms, she said, "We had hoped to grow old together, but that dream will not be realized, for he is now just 54 years of age, and he is gone." And she said, "I've learned so much was placed upon our lives of preparing for the future, thinking about your retirement, laying up for the future. Oftentimes, people never make it to those days. You need to live for the day. You need to live for the day. From this standpoint, don't think that you're going to have years and years and years to live. And you put off saying those words of appreciation, making things right that are not right. How many times have families and relationships gone on for such a long time with some root of bitterness just working away there? And I'll not talk to that person. If they want to come, they can come and speak to me, but I'm not going to talk to them." Put such nonsense out of your head and get the matter put right, for you don't know what time of regret you will have. I may say this today because the Nikiforovs are not here, but I know that there is regret. There is regret in the very parents of Victor. And they are this day grieving because of some things that were not put right while Victor was yet living. Friends, do not go and allow those things to continue on. You are thankful today for the influence of your mother and for what she means to you. Make sure you tell and put those things in the right perspective. Mothers, you are teaching your children by your example. But what example is it that you are giving? Is it a good one or is it a negative one? I've already mentioned about sowing and reaping, and we thought about the good aspect of what you sow, you will reap. But now think for a moment on the negative aspect. For how many times have mothers had to repent because of the influence that they have left upon their children? And God forbid, but you have led your children possibly in the direction away from God. There needs to be repentance. There needs to now be a looking and saying, God, forgive me for the errors of my way and help me to put right the things that have been done wrong. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and in thy mother. It does not appear, we are told in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 1, that Timothy's father was not a believer. We do not know what the outcome of that in his life was, whether he ever did come to the Lord or not, I don't know. But there are some of you here and you labor under that unequal yoke where one is a believer and one is not a believer. And we may well assume from the scripture that Eunice came to know Christ after she was married. And now she has a problem in her family. Her husband is not a believer. She is a believer. What responsibility does she yet have? She focuses upon her children. She teaches them the way of righteousness and truth. Mothers, don't give up. And don't ever think that your influence is going to be wasted in this account. You have a great responsibility to impact the lives of your children. She was committed to the Savior. She had an unhypocritical faith in the Son of God, and she endeavored to show her son the same thing. I want to read something to you from a little tract that I came across. What a high calling. What a responsibility to be a mother. Can you fulfill it? Are you to your children all that you should be? Are you setting them the example of honesty, purity, compassion, joy, strength of character? You can't do this unless your heart is given to Jesus Christ and He lives in you. Do your children see Him in you? They can't see Him if He isn't there. Have you taught them to pray, to read God's Word, and to rejoice in the Lord? Will they say, thank God for my mother, because of her I have not only physical life, but I have eternal life and victory in Christ Jesus, my Savior? If your children cannot say this, open your heart to Him. And let Him come into your life. Mother, is there yet something that you have to put right before God? Do you have to get right with Him before you can instruct your own children? Eunice knew the Savior, and she taught her own son. She was also committed to service. The service of Christ. It's clear from the very context we've already read that where they lived was not an easy place. It was not an easy time to serve the Lord in the early church time. There was persecution that ensued. But yet we look at that period of church history and we move forward 100 years and we see the difficulties of that era. And then we come to 2005. There are areas of difficulty today that may be a little bit different than they were 100 years ago. But each age presents its own difficulties and challenges. And yet she was committed, and we and you must be committed to the service of Christ in the day in which you're living in. Untiring labor of a mother will result and bring an end of blessing of a family that is walking in truth. In 3 John, verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can you say that today, mother, grandmother? Do you have the knowledge and the joy of your children walking in truth? Do they bear the testimony that comes back to you from others of the blessing of faith in your children? We all long to hear the good report that is given from others. We long to hear that our own family, our own children, have borne that report and they carry the testimony of Christ and it comes back again. We long to receive that good report from the Lord when we come to the end. Enter into the joy of thy Lord, thou good and faithful servant. Press on in your commitment, in your service for the Lord Jesus. Don't be so tied up and busy doing other things. You're trying to make a living, but you have no time to make a life for your family. And I understand, and I say this again, I know that there are circumstances that are very difficult and unique. And sometimes there has to be the full-time employment of the mother. I understand that. And God knows that as well. He knows your individual circumstance. And yet you do have, and do not ever forget, the priority that you have of your own family. I close with the unblemished example that Eunice had in her own family. She had a testimony. And when her influence was for truth and virtue, she was guided by divine wisdom. And what a power for Christ that she was in her life. She bore that testimony. She was consistent. And every real matter that came into their family, every thing that came across their lives, it was evident from Timothy that his mother and grandmother were consistent in their walk with Christ. There was not an up one day, a down the next day. There was not a going strong for the Lord and then backing off and becoming cold. There was a consistency of life, for he was taught from a child all the way through. Yes, there was that consistency. And these things were fueled by the love that she had for the Lord and for her family. I have a Mother's Day card here. It's actually from my own mother. And I'm going to read the front of it before I give it to her. So you're going to hear it before she hears it. God hears the cries of a mother's heart. He is her heavenly Father. God celebrates the joys of a mother's heart. He is her King of Kings. God meets the needs of a mother's heart. He is her good shepherd. God sees the compassion of a mother's heart. He is her wonderful counselor. God puts the love in a mother's heart. He is her great creator. The love of a mother's heart for her children. We read today from Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. And so, mother, look for and seek after that blessing of having your children rise up in your lifetime and call you blessed. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks today for the blessed memories that we have in our own lives of mothers who cared for, who looked after, who instructed, who disciplined. Father, all of these things in our life we have learned from, and we give thanks to Thee this day. Hear our prayer for any who have not come to Christ this day. May they begin on that road of surrendering their own lives to Christ, and therefore then able to instruct their own families in the ways of truth. Father, hear our prayer this day. Continue to be with us and bless us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.